Cliff Floyd played for the Miami Marlins when they were called the Florida Marlins. He played for the Mets. He played for the Expos. He's now an analyst for MLB Network. And he's also an entrepreneur. He and his father-in-law are peddling this drywall axe idea, which we had in studio during Baseball Central. And I believe it's available at several hardware stores around Canada. I know this. Cliff Floyd and his father-in-law were on Dragon's Den. And that show will be seen tonight on CBC. I'm sure Cliff isn't going to tell us how the outcome of what the outcome of the show was. But I'm hoping, Cliff, that you'll tell us why the hell you were wearing a Mets jersey. You know that you're going to hear about that.
Of course. But I think at the end of the day, I had the Expo jersey, and to be honest with you, wholeheartedly, the hat didn't fit my head. So I couldn't wear the jersey and the hat. So it was one of those things. I had the Mets jersey, and I got a lot of flack because I actually put it out there, and the Met faithful were like, listen, you got to wear Mets jersey. I know I'm aware a little bit, but of course, with the show being here in Ontario, in Canada, I should have thought it over again.
You know I'm kidding, Cliff.
Of course.
Okay, good.
When you're in Canada, you should show some love, of course, to the Expos, and I should have had that Expo jersey on.
Could have been worse. You could have had a Marlins jersey.
Huh? Now, if that would have happened, I probably would have got executed.
But. Yeah, no, that was not good. It looks like it was a lot of fun. I watched the...
It was amazing. Yeah, it was truly amazing. Of course, I'm definitely not going to tell you what happened.
No. We'll watch it. CBC tonight.
Yeah, and, I think the biggest thing was, it's been 3 years, and with the company we deal with over in King City here in Ontario, Sparks Innovations and what they've been able to do with Bob and who's the owner there, he's been truly amazing. Of course, Adam, my partner has been we've been through so much that it's all coming to light, and I invite you out tonight. I mean, it's over at Boston Pizza in Aurora at 7 p.m. If you want to come, you and Trav, y'all come on over, man.
I got a family thing tonight.
Of course you do, Jeff. I mean, why would I?
I've got to spend some time with my family.
Yeah, listen, I understand that. I know your job is, it calls for you to be away from the family a lot. So
Travis will go though.
Trav, come on out, man.
Yeah, Travis will be there for sure.
Bring the whole clan. I saw the whole crew. Bring everybody back there.
Travis will go.
It'll be cool.
You have to fix Travis up though.
Fix him up with some pizza.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, hook him up. Okay.
Yeah, hook him up.
Okay,
sorry.
Hook him up. Hey, I don't know who's coming. I know Wifey's here with me. She's coming. And Wifey don't have a lot of friends here. So
Wifey? You call her Wifey?
Yeah, Wifey. Yeah. What's wrong with that, Jeff? Wifey.
Well, I mean, if I called my wife,
if I said baby mama, it'd be
well, now, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right?
I know. It's just if I called my wife wifey, I'd be on the floor.
Would definitely don't call her baby mama then.
No, I would never do that. Anyhow, so there you go. 8 o'clock at Dragon's Den tonight.
Yeah. 7 o'clock at Boston Pizza in Aurora. That's
7 o'clock.
That's the watch party, man.
The watch
party. Watch party.
Okay, the watch party's from 7 to 10 at Boston Pizza in Aurora. Very good. Let's talk a little baseball. I want to talk to you about the Giancarlo Stanton contract in particular. That's a part of the country you're familiar with.
Yeah.
That's a team you're familiar with. I understand the Marlins. I think the Marlins had to sign. They had to sign Giancarlo Stanton. But, Cliff, do you see this ending any other way than it usually ends with Jeffrey Loria? And that is, at some point in the next 3 years, Giancarlo's going to get a call from Loria or David Sampson. Thanks for everything you've done for us. We just pulled off a deal with the Milwaukee Brewers. You're going to Milwaukee.
I've listened to you for a long time. Agree with everything, pretty much everything you've said. And going back to our Montreal days, but this is one where I'm gonna have to disagree.
You think that the Marlins are good for this?
I really do, and the reason that I disagree. And I look at the whole contract, and I look at the whole structure of it, and the $107 million paid out for the first 6 years, I'm thinking that's reasonable. They can deal with that. You know, it's not a ton. I mean, well, he's making, Jeff, $6 million next year and then 14. So it wasn't no contracts when you look at the Mars and go, if you allow us to build this team around you by taking less money for the first few years, then it puts you in a position to get all this money to end your career with one team, all the things that John Carlos probably, it means a lot to him, I think, by taking a 13-year deal. It allows the Marlins to grow and be the team that he wants them to be as this thing moves towards, you know, year 7, 8, 9, 10, when it gets to that point where it's winding down. So that's why I look at it and go, you know, if it was one of those contracts that was just 25 across or 20, however it would annually average out, then I would think that, you know what, you're right, you're onto something. They just are not going to be able to put a team around him that's going to allow him to stay here for the length of the contract. So that's why I look at this whole, you know, 13-year deal, this crazy amount of money. And by the way, the $141 million tax is just ridiculous. Let's just get that out the way anyway. But then just to add on to what the Marlins are doing, I just believe they're going to be able to field a team around him or at least get people to entertain coming to Florida, which I think at some point that definitely will happen. Whether that be, I won't necessarily look at a home run hitter, but guys who can flat out play the game, who can hit, who can be the guys that can be a gap type of players and sort of surround themselves around him so he can be the prolific, you know, hitter that we know. So I really believe once it gets to that point, Jeff, when it gets to that 6 years, and that's when the money starts to really kick in, he's not going to give that money away. He'd be 31 years old. You're talking about a guy that's been beat up in his career before, and you have a ton of money left on the table. I don't know who out there will give him another, 7 years for $200-plus million. I don't think that'll happen when we've seen these contracts, sort of unfold with some of the, you know, superstars that were in the past when you talk about Pujols and some of these guys who sort of declined a little bit.
Cliff Floyd joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Giancarlo Stanton, of course, hit in the face last year. He's coming off that. You know both of these sides pretty well.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that this deal came together the way it did? And by that I mean, did you think that maybe the Marlins would be a little reluctant to make that offer without seeing how this guy is going to respond to that pitch?
Yeah, no, I really did. I thought it was definitely a must. I do agree with you at that point. I really do. I think when you look at the Marlins and what they had to do to sort of be able to at least, you know, I mean, at some point you have to get some fans in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at having to sign Giancarlo Stanton, yes, you had to. Looking at how they signed him, I was definitely, you know, taken back by that. I think you definitely want to see, and, you know, you and I, we've been around this game a long time. You know, it's sort of a must from an ownership standpoint before you make that commitment. See what a guy is going to be once he's come back from, especially what he's come back from, being hit in the face. Now you've seen injuries where you see guys come back from rotators and knees, and you go, well, I want to see you run. Okay, that's fine. You can see me run in off season and see that my speed's back. No, I want to see you throw. Okay, that's great. Let me see if your shoulder's back. And you can go out here and throw some balls long distance on the field, around the corner from the house, send the trainers down, and you back to 100%. But I can't see you being in game action, you know, before spring training starts.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see that. So I would think that you want to see him back in the box where you at least have an idea that, you know what, he's not afraid of that ball that's inside. And you and I both, again, know that when you go to spring training, it's a total different ball game, Jeff. It's day game baseball. You're getting the glares. The sun is out shining. It's not easy to see a baseball, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I think that's what I want to see from Giancarlo. I think that's what everybody's going to see. But definitely strange that they sign him without seeing, how he come back from that.
Yeah, my concern would be that first live BP if he's in against some guy still trying to find his. Still trying to find his range, still trying to find his control.
I would say he's not going to be in those.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the type of situations where, you know, had he not been hit in the face, Oh, of course. I mean, he's definitely in there, just like everybody else. We're wearing it. You know, pitchers go to spring training 2 weeks before we get there, mm-hmm. as hitters. So they're already ahead of the schedule. They're ahead of the game. So when I get in the box, I know he's going to wear me out. But, you know, it's been numerous times where I've stepped in that box, and you go, holy cow, that ball just missed me. Yeah, because it's not normal. You have a cage over you as a hitter. You have the L screen up as a pitcher. You have the pitching coach standing on the mound. I mean, everything is not, it's not baseball. It's sort of getting guys ready. And it's always terrifying when you have a guy that's trying to make the team, throwing 100, and don't know where it's going.
Cliff Floyd joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. The other news, of course, the past couple of days, the Boston Red Sox essentially buying up the free agent market. Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval. It's a good-looking lineup right now. It appears as if they'll move Jonas Cespedes. Hanley will probably go to the outfield. They'll probably hang on to Xander Bogaerts. At least that's probably their best-case scenario. What do you make of those signings? And in particular, Hanley. I think a lot of people have some concerns about whether or not that Hanley Ramirez signing won't turn into another Adrian Gonzalez situation for the Red Sox. I think a lot of people look at Pablo Sandoval and go, okay, he'll do what he does, and you know, he'll be able to get by, and he'll probably love life hitting a Fenway Park. But I think there's concern about Hanley Ramirez. How do you read that?
Definitely, again, shocked at the thought that Ben Cherington and the Boston Red Sox believe that you can just take a guy who is 31 years of age, never played the outfield, just goes to the outfield and tries to man the left field of Fenway Park. I've been there. It's not easy. I look at this as strange. I don't know how it's going to unfold, Jeff. I believe that when you look at Poppy, David Ortiz, I don't know if he's going to play beyond, you know, next year, or he's going to be in a Boston Red Sox uniform. I don't know how that's going to be. Maybe you move, you know, Panda to DA. I don't know. It's just too many I don't knows, too many mm-hmm. questions when you look at this roster now. And if you think that Hanley is going to be able to squat in the outfield, then think again. This is not that easy. I don't care who you are. You just don't. I know it's a work in progress, and I know when you get to spring training, but you're talking about the mega media of the world. I mean, they will wear you out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not that easy to make that transition. And, you know, do I think he's better suited to play shortstop? No, we've seen that. He's just not that good over a shortstop. I believe he's definitely a really good hitter. I believe he hasn't lost the speed, so he can still run and do some things that's be definitely productive for you. I just look at this and go, how do you believe that it's better to sign a Hanley Ramirez and let go of a Cespedes? I don't mm-hmm. get that. That to me just makes no sense. But at the end of the day, they know better than us, I guess. And, you know, you sign a guy Hanley, you give him a ton of money. And I just don't understand, unless something we're missing with Cespedes, unless there's something out there that, you know, you see a team in Oakland get rid of their number four hitter, and what happened, Jeff? They go down the tube.
Yep.
Right? They flat out fall off the earth. And then you see a team in Boston looking for offense, and yeah, you go out and get Panda, which I think is great. I think Panda's going to be a good move for them. I think they're going to love having him there. I think, you know, just what he brings, you know, in the playoffs is enough for me. But throughout the season, it's a guy that is out to prove that, you know what, you can talk about his weight and all this stuff. The guy comes to play every day. Hanley has been beat up, and I just think when you're talking about a guy that's dealt with some of the issues he's dealt with and putting him in the outfield, it's just not that easy because it's more to do in the outfield. I know you want him to just make the easy play, but it's more to that. You're expected on a team like Boston to lay out for balls. You're expected to do different things in a place like that, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, I spoke to a guy who scouted for a team that was interested in Hanley Ramirez, and he made the point that in his report, he said, and in their own discussions, they looked at him as possibly moving to first base. And the same thing you said. He said left field of Fenway Park. He said, you know, it's a great bat to get in the lineup, but I know they've got Mike Napoli at first base. But this guy said, hey, that's where we projected, and we projected a move to first base because he's got his feet are quick enough and he's got infielder's instinct, so we can put him there. You don't have to worry about range as much as you do at shortstop. And I found that kind of interesting. I don't know. Maybe that's something that hasn't been explored enough yet. Maybe that's where he'll end up ultimately.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. All eyes will be on him in spring training. And the one thing that as a veteran player you always treasure, and I don't care who you are, you treasure it. And if you don't, then something wrong with you. You treasure going to spring training and working yourself up to playing opening day, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you treasure. When you get to that point where, you know, the manager says to you, how many at-bats you need early in the season, how many at-bats you need midway through spring, and then, you know, handcuffs are off, you're going to play every game leading up to opening day. We all get that. Now you have to play on the backfields, B games, and outfield. You have to get more reps out there, you know, during spring. So many things going to a 31-year-old body that's been beat up. You know, let's not forget, you know, it's not been a guy that's been, you know, out there 161 games, 160 games throughout, you know, the last few years. This guy's been beat up. So now you're expecting him to go out in spring training and get all his work in to take balls off the bat consistently after BP, to do these things in camp. And I'm just saying, is it doable? Yes. Is it going to be hard on his body? 100%.
Cliffy, it was good to talk to you, man. Best of luck tonight on Dragon's Den. And, again, the viewing party from 7 to 10 p.m. at Boston Pizza in Aurora. And we'll be in touch, my friend. Have a good Thanksgiving.
No doubt, JB. Thank you.
Same. Take care.